I guess it looks as if you're reorganizing your records.
Yeah.
Chronological?
No.
Not alphabetical?
Nope.
What?
Autobiographical.
That sounds...
comforting.
Yes.
For the Record on Nova 103.5. My name is Jacques, and welcome to For the Record, a show where I dig through my record collection, take out a record, and we do a deep dive. Last week, we had a COVID record on the show. The COVID records are records that, well, simply put, during COVID, when we were locked down, I ordered online. Usually after binge listening to someone's music and perhaps after a sip or two of Naughty Water, if you know what I mean. I was asked, what else do I have in the COVID collection? So, spinning today, another record from those COVID records. It's one of those times when I say this album is just, you know, from the other day. And while it feels like that to me, spinning today on For the Record, depressingly from 2001, it's rock band Jimmy Eat World and their breakthrough album, Bleed American. It just takes some time. Jimmy Eat World were not in a good place prior to the release of Bleed American. Due to the commercial failure of their 1999 album Clarity, the band was dropped from their record label, Capitol Records. But these guys were determined to continue, so they started working odd jobs and toured wherever they could to raise funds for the next album. And despite being dropped from their label, the band's spirits were still quite high.
No, no, no. I mean, I think a lot of people look at what's happened to us as a band over the years and like kind of the ups and the perceived ups and downs. But for us, I mean, that whole time was like, it felt like just constantly getting, you know, better and better.
Yeah.
Mark Trombino, who has produced the likes of Blink 182, he stuck with the band on their previous two albums, and nothing was different this time around. He agreed that since the band was self-funding this album, he would record the album for free, and only later he'd get reimbursed when the album became a success. Very, very confident that it would. So from October to November of the year 2000, the band entered the studio to record. And hey, who remembers Napster? Tell you what, Lars Ulrich of Metallica, he remembers Napster.
Earlier this year, while completing work on a song for the movie Mission Impossible 2, we were startled to hear reports that 5 or 6 versions of our work in progress were already being played on some US radio stations. We traced the source of this leak to a corporation called Napster.
Ah yes, the era of illegal downloads. So while Metallica, among many, were fighting Napster, Jimmy Eat World saw an opportunity. The band started uploading demo versions of their songs that they were recording to the site for their fans to hear. Except, fans weren't the only ones listening. Before long, record companies came knocking. Quite literally, they came to the studio, would barge in, to the point that the band had to start locking the door. And then on June 5th, 2001, the band released the first single, Bleed American, also the title track of the album. And while it did pretty good as far as charts go, the name Bleed American would soon become a problem for the band. That's coming up. Spinning now though, a song about a general dissatisfaction and a yearning for something more, it's the self-titled track of the album by the same name. Here's Jimmy Eat World, Bleed American.
Space time.
Bleed American, off the album by the same name by Jimmy Eat World. The track helped the band get some proper attention, and before long, they were on tour with arguably the biggest name in the pop punk movement, especially at the time, Blink-182. That's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody's actually when you're 23. In fact, singer and guitarist of Blink-182, Tom DeLonge, he loves Jimmy Eat World so much that they performed at his wedding in 2001. Despite the fact that the band were free agents, they would still need help when it came to a lot of the things that go behind the scenes, and ultimately, a record label was needed. So who better to help them than someone from their own community? A guy by the name of Luke Wood, once played in a band called Sammy, and Sammy the band would open shows for Jimmy Eat World in the 90s. Fortunately, Luke had somehow worked his way up from guy who played in opening bands to the position of A&R, the people who sign bands, for DreamWorks Records. Luke approached the band and they were initially hesitant and things never really went anywhere. But then a year later, the band contacted Luke from DreamWorks, but there was a slight problem. With the Napster releases and what people had started hearing of the band, a bidding war had started between the various labels. And the best thing of this bidding war was that their old label, Capitol Records, the one who dropped them, they came crawling back hoping to re-sign the band. Ultimately, they went with a friend and signed with Luke of DreamWorks. So, the first single is out. You got tours with Blink-182, there's a bidding war, it's the best songs the band has ever written. Things were looking good for Jimmy Eat World, until they didn't. That's coming up. Spinning now though, a song titled A Praise Chorus, and that's exactly what it is. The chorus of the song praises so much music. It references seven songs. The first line in the chorus is sung continuously in the background before another six are sung over it. So I'm gonna run through them quick. Number one, you got Crimson and Clover by Tommy James and the Shondells. Number two, Madness, Our House. Three, The Promise Ring, Why Did We Ever Meet? Four, Bad Company with Rock and Roll Fantasy. Five, They Might Be Giants, Don't Let's Start. Six, The Promise Ring with All My Everythings. And number seven, Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart. Listen out for all those references in the song. Here's Jimmy Eat World of today's For the Record, A Praise Chorus.
How you missed out?
For the Record on Nova 103.5.
It's the best collection I've ever seen.
I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, I can only afford to buy just a few of these.
Give me 50 bucks and they're all yours.
My name is Jacques and welcome back to For the Record. Spinning today, Jimmy Eat World and their album, Bleed American. It just takes some time. Things were really looking good for the band around this time. There was a lot of good attention coming their way. When sadly, a little over 2 months after the release of Bleed American, the September 11th attacks happened.
It's 8:52 here in New York. I'm Bryant Gumbel. We understand that there has been a plane crash on the southern tip of Manhattan. You're looking at the World Trade Center. We understand that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. We don't know anything more than that.
Unfortunately, following the 9/11 attacks, the title of the album, Bleed American, was not looking good, and the name was drawing attention for the wrong reasons. As such, out of respect, the band made a decision to pull the album from the shelves and retitle it to just Jimmy Eat World. The song of the same name, Bleed American, was also retitled to Salt, Sweat, Sugar. The band would eventually return the name Bleed American on pressings of the album from 2008 onward. Now, following the 9/11 attacks, there is a bit of a lull in the band's story. Like, what were they up to? Were they maybe touring? Were they just focusing on changing the album and getting it back on the shelves? I genuinely don't know. But whatever positive attention the band had gained up until this point was about to be dwarfed by what was about to come. In October of 2001, the band released their biggest and most successful single to date, The Middle. It just takes some time. Why, oh why? And I've done enough research on these shows to see this pattern. Why is it when a band is at their most relaxed in the studio, or when they have a bit of a throwaway song, or they need a last minute song, or they have a joke song that they're playing around with? Why is that the song that always becomes the biggest on the album? The origin of The Middle? Here's frontman of Jimmy Eat World, Jim Adkins.
I think The Middle started out kind of like a joke. You know, it was just so simple.
The joke, though, was on everyone else. The song reached number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100.
There's definitely a stigma, I think, when you're working, that if something is too easy, it's not earned.
Safe to say, Jim can settle down. It was earned. A song about not fitting in and not having to be the same as everyone else just to be popular. And its origin? Frontman Jim Adkins checking the band's email.
I had to go to my parents' house to use their computer to check the band's email. You know, and you know, there would be like 3 people that are written. and there was a girl who was at a junior high age, maybe like 13, 14, she was a fan, and she wrote something about how she didn't feel like she fit in with the punk rock crowd at her school because she was like she wasn't like punk enough for them.
It's very easy to see why the song was a success. It was relating to so many kids that couldn't fit in. Off their album, Bleed American, the biggest single of their career, here's Jimmy Eat World, The Middle. the Middle by Jimmy Eat World of their album Bleed American. The song was massive for the band, and it took them from selling only a couple thousand albums to being a platinum artist. With songs like this, this rock and roll vibe, this lackiness, this upbeatness, I almost want to say an album like this isn't complete without at least one slow song. That song on this album is Hear You Me, and it was a tribute to friends that the band lost. Michael and Carly Allen were sisters who ran the Weezer fan club, as in yes, Weezer, the band. They were also massive fans of Jimmy Eat World and so became friends with the band while they were still up and coming. They would also let Jimmy Eat World crash at their house when the band was passing through the area on tour and had nowhere else to stay. Michael and Carly sadly passed away in a car accident on the way home from a Weezer concert. Their loss impacted the lives of Weezer, Jimmy Eat World, and their fans alike, and so many tributes started pouring in from all over.
Hi, I'm Serena Alshul with MTV News. This hour with one of the year's saddest stories concerning the band Weezer and two young sisters from Utah, Michael and Carly Allen, who managed to break through the wall that usually separates performers and their fans. On August 15th, Weezer and That Dog played an emotion-filled concert in tribute to Michael and Carly at the Palace in Los Angeles.
Perhaps one of the greatest and most beautiful tributes, and of today's For the Record Jimmy Eat World's Bleed American album, it's the song Hear You Me. A phrase the sisters would constantly say.
There's no one in town. Gave us some place to go. I never said thank you for that. I thought I might get one more chance. What would you think of me now? So lucky, so strong, so proud. I never said thank you for that. Now I never have a chance. May angels lead you in. Hear you me, my friends. On sleepless roads, the sleepless go. May angels lead you in. Wouldn't let it live. May angels lead you in. Here you meet my friends on sleepless roads, the sleepless go. May angels lead you in. May angels lead you in.
For the Record on Nova 103.5.
Yes, she's here. Bring it to me now. Thank you, Phil.
Why'd you get it sent here?
Carla wouldn't approve. She thinks it's dumb to spend $600 on an LP. Well,
Carla's right. Why don't you just spend $13 on a CD, man?
My name is Jacques, and welcome back to For the Record. Spinning today, Jimmy Eat World and their album, Bleed American. It's amazing to me how Jimmy Eat World went from a band with poor sales and being dropped by their label to a platinum selling band making top albums of the year lists in no time, with each of the singles off this album entering a major chart at some point. And if there's a lesson to be taken away by that, it's perseverance. And with that, we've come to the end, and we're ending on a really good song. A song that was described by punknews.org as so unbelievably catchy that they had trouble coming up with an analogy to get it across. The song's origin, weirdly enough, is when they were still with their old label right before they were about to be dropped. Here's drummer Zach Lind.
I remember that was right after we were done recording Clarity. We were at home and we weren't doing anything and the record was done. And Clarity was also kind of one of those records where when we made it, I don't know if we really realized this at the time, but it was really not for sure that that record was coming out, you know. And then Jim wrote this demo with, like, you know, with the, like, just crazy jangling guitars.
Something to note, the band actually recorded a version of the song and sent it to the label, yes, the one that eventually dropped them, and the label said no to the song. And remember earlier, then eventually they'd come crawling with their tail between their legs saying, please re-sign with us? Mwah, I love it. The song eventually went into the UK singles, the Billboard Hot 100, the US Adult Top 40, and the US Alternative Airplay charts. Like, at what point do we all say to ourselves, Jimmy Eat World being dropped by such a blind record label was probably the best thing that could have happened to them as a band? And the success of the song, again, I would say the same with the song The Middle. It's all thanks to the relatable lyrical content. In an interview, frontman and songwriter Jim Adkins said of the song, it's just about feeling unfulfilled, and when you're looking for relationship validation, it's a scene that I come back to a lot. You know, if that's where you're hoping and wishing to get your sense of happiness and self-worth, you're going to be searching forever. While many bands in this era, and in the Jimmy Eat World scene, if you will, they wrote about similar things. It's just Jimmy Eat World had this maturity to the songs. And I think that's relatable, because after all, even these skater kids had to grow up at some point. My name is Jacques, and thank you for tuning into For the Record this week, where we took a look at the amazing Jimmy Eat World and their album, Bleed American. I'll catch you same time, same place next week for another episode of For the Record. Ending today, Jimmy Eat World with Sweetness.
For the Record on Nova 103.5.